You know, this morning, well, actually yesterday, because of this past week, I was telling Mary when I left Thursday night, I said, well, I know what I'm going to be doing Saturday. She goes, what's that? I says, I'm going to be doing my message, and I don't even have a clue as what it is. And the Lord just, you know, started giving it to me, actually, late Friday night. So, of course, I'm writing this all down. But then this morning, the Lord actually, you know, I'm like, okay, we've got two funerals, and we've got, you know, today's service and then next Sunday's service. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord. And within 20 minutes, I told Mary, 20 minutes this morning, he gave me three messages. And I mean, in 20 minutes, three messages plus the songs that he wants me to do specials with. So I'll be honest with you, Friday I felt a little bit overwhelmed. But today I am just so excited. I am so, so excited. So this morning, I want to show you something. You know, all of us noticed the craft table out here, right, this morning? Well, Mary had made these. So I'm going to show these to you, and I'm not trying to sell anything. But
You helped too.
Yeah. And these, aren't these cute? They're little votives. They got little lights in them that you can turn on. And I just want to show each one of them to you. She made a couple. They're different varieties. Now, take a good look at them, because I have a reason for sharing these this morning. Aren't these cute? Okay. And then we have Mr. Snowman here. And Bruce, would you plug that one in over there? This one's got three little snowmen on them, and he's going to plug them in. And while he's getting that ready, I'll take your focus off of him for a second while he's doing that. He's going to turn the light on that one, so you get an idea. And this one, which is a fall wreath. Okay, and I believe that Terry's got a couple of these, right, Terry? Yeah. Okay, and you're saying, well, what, you know me, I like to do my show and tells. You can ask the children's church, they'll tell you the same thing, that I like to do show and tells. But let me show you this one again. Now, if you look at this one, if you'll notice this morning, that it's a jar, right? And then down here is actually a vase. She's put the two together, okay? But the jar at one time was what? A container to put something in. Isn't that right? This down here, the bottom, was probably a flower vase to arrange flowers or to put flowers in, right? Okay. Okay, let's go to this one. Again, here's our Mr. Snowman. Now this was probably, wouldn't you say it was a staircase spindle or like when you come into a house, they might have had a little foyer and they might have had these little, what do you call it, gates or rails. And so at one time, that's what this was, right? But again, now it's Mr. Snowman. And I'm sure that if I don't even have to give you multiple choice, we know what this was used for, right? For bikes, right? Okay. And you say, well, what's that got to do with your message this morning? Well, the thing is this. They all had a purpose before. But you notice none of that got pitched. Nobody threw it in the garbage because why? It was repurposed. But the word I want to use this morning was they got a second chance. Those items got a second chance to do something else. They were given another purpose. So this morning I want to share a couple of stories with you. This is a story about, it happens to be a bike shop in a small neighborhood where volunteers would rebuild bikes that were no longer wanted. They would bring these bikes, like the one, what's the name of the guy that does it here in town of Princeton?
Bike Place.
So that's what he did. And this gentleman, his name is Ernie Clark, and what he would do is, of course, these volunteers would come in and they would refurbish these bikes. And like Ernie, he would give them to adults that needed transportation. Or maybe they did it for health reasons, to keep them a little more fit. Or he would also donate them to the homeless and the disabled, and actually to the military vets who were struggling to make it into civilian life. He would donate these to these people. But not only do the bicycles get a second chance, listen to this, but sometimes the recipient of that new bike, that new used bike, began to give them a purpose. And what it did was cause them to feel like they had a second chance. In fact, one of these veterans actually took his bike because he now had transportation. He went for a job interview, which probably opened up the door for him to find a job and start his life anew. And maybe there was a point in his life before he got that bike that he felt hopeless, that he had no hope. So the same with these things. These have no feelings, but God has made us to have feelings. And he says, I want to use you. Yes, you've got flaws. Yes, you've got shortcomings. And yes, you screwed it up or you messed up. But I want to give you a second chance. I want to give you a second chance. It says a second chance can transform a person's life, especially when the second chance comes from God. Now, here's another story, and I'm sure all of you can relate to the story and have heard it. Again, my message this morning is pretty short because we've got our children's serving today. But this next story is about January 15th. This is when it took place, January 15th of 2009, where 155 people on a U.S. Airway flight 1549 thought they were going to die. During takeoff from New York City, their plane struck a flock of geese that disabled both of the engines on that plane. And with a powerless glide, the captain of the plane maneuvered over the densely populated area, then announced over the intercom, "Brace for impact." Think about that. Hearing that from your captain on your plane, what are you thinking? Every one of us are thinking, I'm probably going to die. I'm going to die, and I didn't get the chance to say goodbye. But it goes on to say this. In less than 90 seconds later, the plane made a water landing on the frigid Hudson River, where boats and ferries quickly arrived to rescue the passengers and crew of all who survived. Every one of them survived that plane when it landed. People called this the miracle on the Hudson. One grateful passenger said this, "We have a second chance at life." So that brings me to Hebrews chapter 11. And I've mentioned before that that's also the chapter that's known as the Heroes Hall of Faith chapter in the Bible. We learn from these particular people that I'm going to talk about this morning that they were a flawed people. They had shortcomings. They were not perfect. In fact, they failed often. Those in this chapter are not there because they were great people, but they were there because they had faith in a great God. If you get nothing else out of today, that I want you to remember. It's not because we are great, you are great, or I am great. It's because our God is great. And when we get that, not only up here, but in here, when we get that, you know, once we get it here, it's made. You got it made. Because once it's in here, no matter what this says up here, when it's here, you're going to stay steadfast. It's just like Israel. They're not budging. They're not going to let someone else come in and take the land that was promised to them by God. They are standing, and when they've done all the stand, they stand. And that's what it's saying here this morning. That I want to give you a second chance. Don't let Satan come in and tell you that you don't deserve it, or you're too weak, or you've got too many flaws. God can't possibly use someone like you. This is a chapter where these great people, they weren't great people, but they had a great God, but it was because of their faith in this great God. So this morning I'm going to touch on these world changers. First one is Abraham. Now we know that Abraham lied about being married to Sarah. You know, what happened was he was going to the ancient Egypt to evade the famine. And when he gets there, of course, King Amalek, wants to take Sarah as his wife because she was so beautiful. Okay? So he knows that that's a godless nation. He knew that. So he thought, well, wait a minute. If I tell them that she's my wife, they're going to kill me so that they can have her for, the king can have her for his wife. That's why he did it. He lied. Now, I'm reading on this, and it says, well, really, he didn't lie because he lied in the fact that he said that she wasn't his wife. But he also added, she's my sister, which is not too far from the truth because she was actually his half-sister because they both had the same father. Sarah and Abraham had the same father. They didn't have the same mother. So she was his half-sister. So he didn't lie about that. She is my sister. But he did lie about the fact that she is my wife. So, but the thing is this. Even though he messed up and he lied, the situation, God still used him to find, that he found the new nation called Canaan. He still used Abraham in that way. Here's another one. Noah got drunk. Yet God used Noah and gave Noah and his descendants a new chance and a new start. And if he hadn't done that, we wouldn't be here today. How about Samson, who was a very immoral man? God accepted Samson's repentance, and once again, Samson experienced his strength, which came from God. And in that, in the end, Samson found his faith in God, and God used him in a mighty way. So even though he messed up, and he followed his flesh instead of following his heart and doing what God called him to do, he had a weak moment. And from there, everything went downhill. But yet God said, I'm still going to use you. I'm still going to use you. Here's Gideon, who was afraid. Even though Gideon was afraid, God chose Gideon to deliver Israel by giving Gideon the courage that he needed, the courage that he needed to follow through. We can still be afraid. We can still have that fear. But it's what we do with that fear. I talked about that last week. Okay? But that's the thing. He didn't allow that fear to take over, and he allowed that courage that God gave him that caused him to be successful in what God called him to. Here's another one. Rahab was a prostitute. God used Rahab not only to save the spies, but also to save her family. Okay? God had even more for Rahab. God used Rahab to shape the character, faith, and godliness of a son named Boaz. So God wasn't done with her. Yes, she was a prostitute. But God looked beyond that and said, you know what? I can use her. And I know that when I use her, she's going to follow through and she's going to finish it. Remember when I opened up with prayer today and I said, God, whatever you have for us in store for us today, you will finish what we have begun. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Rahab had some kind of faith, right? Because God used her. And it goes on to say that, it says here, Rahab shaped the character and faith and godliness of a son named Boaz, who would one day rescue a woman, Moabite woman, Naomi, and her daughter-in-law, Ruth. So we got to realize that when God uses us for a second chance, that there's some other person that you're going to affect, and that other person's going to affect, and that other person's going to affect. It's going to be a generational thing. And it continues to move on. Lastly, David. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But David was allowed to take Bathsheba as his wife, even though he messed up, even though, again, he followed the flesh. He didn't follow. He had a heart for God. And God loved him, and he knew that David was faithful. But David allowed the weakness of his flesh, not only for him to commit adultery, but he murdered Bathsheba's husband. So, but God gave him a second chance, and they were able to have another child. I learned something from this today, and I think you're going to learn something from this. They had another child together and called him Solomon. You ready for this? Listen. Which comes from the root word shalom. What's shalom mean? Peace. And why did he have him naming shalom or peace? It says the name signified that they were at peace with God and with the birth of this child. He accepted this child, even though they had made the wrong choices, even though they had done what they had done that was totally against God's law. Yet God gave them both, not just David, but Bathsheba, a second chance. So with that, in closing, without a doubt, one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian is that we have a God who gives us second chances and third chances and fourth chances. But it still does not give us a right to abuse those chances intentionally. Remember me sharing with you that an iniquity is doing a sin that you know is a sin, and you still do that sin anyway. But that's how much our God loves us. That's how much he loves us, that he even forgives us, even though we know that that sin that we're going to commit. You don't think David knew what he was doing when he had Uriah killed on the front lines? He certainly did. And yet God forgave him. But think about it. As we read back about all these people in the Heroes Hall of Faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it's telling us as we read these stories and we're reminded of these stories that God forgave them. If he forgave them, he's certainly going to forgive us. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. His word is never going to change. What he's promised in this word, he's going to promise not to just them, but to us and to our generation after us and the generation after us. He is a faithful God, but he is a God of second chances. So when we thank him for each and every day and what he's got in store for us each and every day, for the last 2 days, every time I would think, every second, the Holy Spirit would bring into my mind something that God had done. And I just, all day long, I'm going, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I remember saying that one day, and I had my grandson with me, and he goes, Grandma, enough is enough. Because that's all he was hearing was me saying, thank you. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry if it sounds repetitious, but I said, you keep bringing things to my remembrance of what you blessed me with. I just can't do anything but just thank you. I think about being able to teach these children here, and I go, Lord, thank you that I get to make a difference. I get to have that opportunity to love on them and to make a difference in their lives, to put a hope in them. So when today, when we sit back and we think about this message today, Lord, I pray that you give them a moment in their day today, that they stop and they meditate on this message today, that they meditate on it. And then as they're meditating on it, you begin to, Holy Spirit, just flood them with those awesome blessings so that they too can say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's what's going to happen in the Schindler family this week. As the days come and the weeks come and as they come, they're going to be saying, thank you that we had this time with Mom, with Dad, and with Wayman. Thank you. But he's going to keep pouring these memories, just flooding these memories, not with just them, with all of us. So stop. Stop what you're doing. Stop and say, Lord, thank you. I really just want to thank you. Sincerely, just thank you. I'm taking my moment, I'm stopping my world, and I'm saying, Lord, thank you. Because that's what you did. You stopped your world and you sent your son so that this family, this church family could grow. The family of God could grow. You sent your son so that your family could continue to grow and we could be adopted into the church family of God. Take a moment, stop your world, and say thank you for giving me a second chance. So even when we have failed miserably, God gives us opportunities to put those things all behind us. He dramatically turns those things around so that we can seek Him and focus on Him. So I ask you this morning, lastly, isn't it a blessing to know that we serve a God of second chances and then some? Amen. With that, I'm going to close with prayer. Cheryl, if you want to come up. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you that you give us many, many chances to restore and revive us again, that we may rejoice in you and accomplish what you have called us to do only through your courage, only through your wisdom and your strength. In Jesus' name we pray.